I'm going to test your eyesight this morning, especially sitting way back there, Beth, perhaps, and Al. Do you see the banner here on the wall? Red banner, right? What does it say, Beth? Wow, Christ is the Christmas. Good. Whoever came up with that statement must have the right understanding on what Christmas is all about, right? Christ is the reason for the season, and Christ is indeed the Christmas. If you ask me, Pastor Choi, what's Christmas to you? I would say Christmas is a story, the story of Jesus, who is our Emmanuel. Last Sunday, if you remember, I talked about the meaning of Emmanuel, with us God. He is with us all the time. The scripture says that you are God's temple and so am I. What is God's temple? Where God dwells, right? So you are God's temple, therefore God dwells in you. I am God's temple, therefore God dwells in me. He accompanies us, and He provides and He protects us, and He is faithful to all of us forever. That's God's promise. To me, Christmas is also a story of Jesus, the God-man. That's the title of my sermon today. Christmas is the story of God's salvation plan for humanity through something called incarnation. I'm sure you heard of that expression before. I'm going to explain to you today what incarnation is all about. A little bit of theology, but I hope this will help you. Incarnation, the word coming from two Latin words, they put two Latin words together. First one is in, I-N. It means in or into. Carne is from the Latin word caro or caro, which means flesh. So incarnation literally means into flesh. Of course, we are talking about human flesh. God coming into the human flesh. That's the meaning of incarnation. Jesus was the God who emptied himself, the Bible says, and took human form. He was the God who was born in a manger. He was the God who pitched his tent among us and dwelt as one of us for 30-some years. That God was Jesus. And that's why I would call him Jesus the God-man, who was perfectly divine and perfectly human. Now, theologically, we call this mystery of God, God becoming human, incarnation. Why did he so? To save us from our sins. By the way, where does this idea of incarnation come from? Theologians, you'd say, but they got the idea directly from God's word, which is the scripture. There are scores of references regarding this incarnation in the scriptures. However, I'm going to present to you this morning two examples. You judge yourself. John, Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 14. I'm going to read it to you. In the beginning was the Word. The word here in Greek word is logos. You heard about it, logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's where we came up with the idea, oh, the logos, the Word, was God. Verse 2, He was in the beginning with God. And verse 14, and the Word, once again the logos, became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see that? The Word here, the Logos, became flesh, human flesh. And that was Jesus. Here's the second reference. In second chapter of the Philippians, I'm going to read it to you, verse 5 and 6, all the way through 8. Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant, and being made in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You see that Jesus was equal to God, but he humbled himself, emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, meaning the human. And he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. That's incarnation. Now, reason with me, why incarnation though? As I said, it's a mystery of God. I don't think anyone will fully understand how it, you know, happened. But there could be some reasons you could dig into and listen to other theologians and read some books about the reasons behind the incarnation. And this morning what I'm going to do as pastor of this church, I'm going to present to you and share with you what I have discovered in the scriptures. The following three reasons why God came into a person named Jesus and became human. Number one, God became human so that he would have the first-hand human experience. This is God's salvation plan for all humanity. It was and is and will be as follows. God the Son, the Logos, came down to humanity as one of them, so that he could be like them in every aspect, to experience everything that humans do, to understand what it's exactly like being human, and to die on their behalf, and to proclaim God's salvation message in the ways that they would understand. Imagine this, you are trying to communicate with the ants on the ground. Okay? You're trying to communicate with them. It seems to me there are two ways, possible ways that you could do it. Number one, or at least try, number one is that you stay as human and using English language that we know and speak to them, good morning ants, how are you this morning? Or someone says at the first service, get off my sandwich. Using the English word. The second way seems to me a more efficient is that you become one of them and speak their language. Not long ago, I was watching the YouTube and how they just, you know, raise all the bees and all them make honey and all these things. Did you know that bees communicate with their dance? Did you know that? How many of you knew that? Oh, yes. I'm glad I'm talking to you, someone. Anyway, I'm sure the ants there have their own language to communicate with each other, right? That's how God did. I'm just making a comparison between creatures, humans and ants, but can you imagine God, the Creator, came all the way down to the human form? That's the mystery of incarnation. Now, that salvation plan of God began with a perfectly human birth and ended with a perfectly human death. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, after conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit so that Christ may be sinless, I have to tell you this. There was no human father was involved in this conception of the baby. Why? There's another reason why. Christ, the Messiah, had to be sinless. So the only way to do it, not involving human father. Because as long as you involve human father, what happens is that it is called sinful nature, or sometimes human depravity, and used to be called original sin. You see, there are two types of sin, original sin and acquired sin. Acquired sin is simple to understand. As we grow up, we learn some bad habits, whatever, telling a lie and steal something. That's considered acquired sin. Original sin has nothing to do with, you know, how you learn. It's just you're born with it. Now, there's such a thing as terrible too, right? No parent taught their kids to be terrible at the age of two. But somehow they just show it up. It is called human depravity in us. So when you involve human father, somehow the person born would carry that original sin. God says, nope, I'm not going to do it that way. That's why Christ was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me move on. He was conceived that way, but from that moment on, he was born like any other baby from mother's womb into the world, and he went through the same human growth chart, if you will, and he was raised like any other child in the world. He had siblings and he had earthly parents, and he grew up as an ordinary child, obeying his earthly parents. I'm sure he did chores for the family. He helped his mother, I'm sure, to set up tables and took the garbage out and so forth. So when he was grown up, what do you think? He had to work hard with his hands. He was known either as a carpenter or mason, okay, for his daily bread. I mean, being equal to God, don't you think, oh, bread come up, and comes out. No, he didn't do it. He also walked many miles. He got tired and he slept and he got hungry and he got thirsty. He experienced every single aspect of human physical side. Now, he also went through the same emotions like we all go through. He laughed and he wept and he got angry and he got frustrated and he was thoroughly, may I say, one of us. He was just like you and me. No one would deny that he was perfectly human. The second reason I could find in the scripture for Jesus God-man was that he had to undergo the same struggles and temptations as we all do. He understood the physical side of it, as I explained. He also understood the emotional side of it. However, God's plan for him was to put him through one more thing. That is, human struggles and sufferings. Otherwise, Christ would not be able to understand what it is like being a human. I remember a conversation, you know, most of the conversations you have with your friends and family members, you don't remember, but there are certain things that are sticking out, right? This is one of them. 30 years ago, I was in Michigan attending the Michigan State University in a PhD program, and I happened to meet a lady who came from the South Korea too, and she was a student in a PhD program in English literature. And one time we struck the conversation. I forgot her name, but I forgot her child's name. It was a unique name, Baroni. So Baroni's mother was there. Anyway, when she was in Korea, she said she was an instructor. You know, in the college level, instructor and the assistant professor, associate professor, and full tenured professor, and so forth. Now, because she didn't have a PhD degree in her department, that's why she was an instructor. And this is what she said. You know, Mr. Choi, it's funny. I mean, when I was teaching in college, I thought everyone would understand what I was saying. And when they took the exam, however, some students do well and other students like got B's and C's and so forth. And she said, I never understood these poor students. They have everything they need to know in the textbook to begin with, and I point out all these important points in the lecture, in the classroom. Somehow they don't make it. I never understood it. And then she says, then it changed everything. When I came to the United States, I was sitting in the classroom, not as a professor, but as a, student. And the professor told me everything. I jotted everything important, and I studied very hard the textbook. When I took the test, I didn't get an A. That's what she says. It was just a moment that she discovered, oh, this is what is it like. You see? That's what God had stored for Christ. See? Human experiences include suffering and pain. Therefore, Jesus the God-man had to understand our physical pains, emotional anguish, and even the fear of death. Human experiences also include temptations and trials. Therefore, Jesus the God-man had to know what it is like to be even addicted to certain things. He was tested and tempted, the scripture says, in everything the same way we are, if not more. For example, did you know that Jesus experienced rejection from his own family? From his own countrymen and from the authorities? Did you know that he was called more than once, including his own by his own family? Insane. He's off. In modern day in America, the family could put him in where? Mental institute. They could do it. He was labeled more than once the devil's agent. He works for the devil. He was mocked and he was despised and he was whipped and he was spat on and he even tasted death. The line that separates us, the mortals, from God the immortal. All for our salvation. He was thoroughly human without sin. The third point I'm going to make is that because of that, these experiences, Jesus the God-man can help us in times of need. Being perfected through suffering, the scripture says, Jesus knows what is it like to be tempted and going through tough times. Knowing exactly what we go through, Jesus also sympathizes with us and can help us. I have to tell you something about the English word sympathy. The way I understood people using this word nowadays is typically this. I don't need your sympathy. How many of you heard of that expression? Almost feels like it carries the very negative connotation. Sympathy is a bad thing, you know. You have an attitude of a condescending. You're up there and looking down at me and just feel sorry. I don't need that. That's the connotation people use. However, let me tell you this. Sympathy is a beautiful, beautiful word. Let me tell you. Sympathy is coming from the Greek word. Sim means, like you could imagine, like together. Symphony, what is that? Together we create the sound, pleasing to our ears. That's symphony, isn't it? Bone is like sound. So sympathize means that together we suffer. That's what it is. So someone says that I sympathize with you means that I'm here to suffer together with you. That's a beautiful, beautiful English word. And that's what Jesus does. He sympathizes with us and can help us. Listen to Hebrews 2:18 says this, because Christ was tested by what he suffered, he can help those who are being tested. And chapter 4, verse 14 through 16 says this, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, which is Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize once again with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things that as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, the conclusion is this, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is our merciful high priest. He understands that our life is hard. He also understands our daily struggles and frustrations. He understands the efforts that we are making. Out of such perfect understanding of life, Jesus offers his help to those who are willing to take it. The bottom line is this, folks. Incarnation is God's perfect plan for human salvation. And Jesus was the instrument. He was divine, yet he was also human. He understands what you are going through today. Therefore, you can, scripture encourages us, to go to him in times of need, particularly in prayers. You have the unlimited and forever guaranteed access to God through and in the name of Jesus. So this Christmas, my prayer for all, may God help us to experience Jesus, the God-man. Let's bow our heads and pray. It's amazing, Lord, when we open your word, the scripture, it says and reveals all the mysteries used to be hidden, but through Jesus, you opened and you revealed your mystery to us, beginning with the mystery of incarnation. Perhaps we'll never fully understand what it exactly involves. However, we do have outline. We see some blurry picture of incarnation in the scripture. God became human so that he would save us from our sins. Help us, Lord, to meditate on it and go to not only Jesus our Emmanuel, but Jesus the God-man who can sympathize with our weaknesses Therefore, he can help us in times of need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.